In the third year of King Cyrus of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. The message was true and was about a great conflict. He understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. I didn't eat any rich food, no meat or wine entered my mouth, and I didn't put any oil on my body until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of gold from Upaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the brilliance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and feet the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see it, but a great terror fell on them, and they ran and hid. I was left alone looking at this great vision. No strength was left in me. My face grew deathly pale and I was powerless. I heard the words he said, and when I heard them, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me and set me shaking on my hands and knees. He said to me, Daniel, you are a man treasured by God. Understand the words that I'm saying to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you. After he said this, he said this to me, I stood trembling. Don't be afraid, Daniel, he said to me, for from the first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your prayers were heard. I have become because of your prayers. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me after I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to help you understand what will happen to your people in the last days, for the vision refers to those days. While he was saying these words to me, I turned my face towards the ground and was speechless. Suddenly, one with human likeness touched my lips. I opened my mouth and said to the one standing in front of me, my Lord, because of the vision, anguish overwhelms me and I am powerless. How can someone like me, your servant, speak with someone like you, my Lord? Now I have no strength and there is no breath in me. Then the one with a human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. He said, don't be afraid. You who are treasured by God, peace to you. Be very strong. As he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let the Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. He said, do you know why I have come to you? I must return at once to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I leave, the prince of Greece will come. However, I will tell you what is recorded in the book of truth. No one has the courage to support me against those princes except Michael, your prince. In the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to strengthen and protect him. Now I will tell you the truth. And may God bless the reading of his word to us. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Well, let's pray before we study God's word together. Father God, we thank you for your word is truth. We ask now that you would bless us with an understanding. Send God the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Let us really see the Lord Jesus, understand you and your will, our Father, and draw together in love, that our love will reveal you to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what is really going on in our world at the moment? As I wrote these notes on Saturday, I checked the latest figures, and worldwide there have been nearly 287,000 cases of COVID-19 diagnosed. Nearly 12,000 people have died, and praise the Lord, nearly 94,000 people have recovered. The disease is currently in 186 countries and on one cruise ship. Perhaps critically for us yesterday, there were 3,830 active cases in the UK, 20 of which were serious or critical. Over the last few days, I've heard the Americans blame the Chinese and the Chinese blame the Americans. And I think the Russians also suggested it was an act of biological warfare by us. So what really is going on in the world? Perhaps you have connected with us today in order to get answers to those questions, or maybe you've been asked if you, a Christian, have an answer to that question. Well, I didn't know the reason for not finishing the book of Daniel, preaching-wise, last year. We were working through the book and we ran into Advent, and I had 3 chapters left. That wasn't what I was planning. I had no idea then that I would need to dig with you into the truths that God gave to Daniel in such times as these. But in truth, Daniel was in very similar times. And from the truth that he received, he knew comfort and encouragement to continue trusting God in days like these. So these chapters of Daniel that we're going to spend some weeks exploring help us to answer the deep reasons behind conflicts and diseases and how and when these things will end. And today I only really want to set the scene. I hope we can remember where Daniel is at and what is going on and catch a glimpse of the man himself, who I think offers us a reason why and a challenge of how to behave in these days. In case you're in any doubt, then notice the introduction to this vision. Clearly it says in verse 1, the message was true and was about a great conflict. The great conflict of that day can be identified from this verse 2. The proper name, Belteshazzar, that Daniel was given, and the king, Cyrus of Persia, tie us back to the opening chapters of the book. It's there that Daniel is introduced to us as a youth from Israel who is taken away to Babylon, given that new name and new training, and then having been presented before the then king, Nebuchadnezzar, we're told that he remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Well, we're now in the 3rd year of King Cyrus, and Daniel is still there. So is our Bible wrong? No, I don't think so. This may well refer to Daniel now being in retirement, in that he was presented to King Nebuchadnezzar and he served as a minister of state, an advisor, until the 1st year of King Cyrus. If all that is true, and we've no reason to doubt the timeline, then Daniel, taken as a teenager, is now in his mid-80s. And that's a fair cop to say he can retire, I think. I think there are other ways that we can be convinced to this line of reasoning as well. There were events that Daniel may well have wanted to be a part of, but I think perhaps because of his age, he would choose not to be involved. It's the other biblical link that we need to remember or have brought to our attention as we read about Cyrus. That's the link via Jeremiah 29 and Isaiah 44 and 45 that takes us to the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. It will bless you to read those texts again later today, especially if you have not heard of those things before, you read them for the first time and hear how God's people are welcomed back to the land. In the 1st year of King Cyrus, God stirred him up, an alien king, a foreign king, God stirred up this king to send his own people, God's own people, back to Jerusalem. And Daniel would be the obvious choice to go as chief advisor, maybe even the leader. But he does not go. And the project, in truth, did not go well. There was conflict. And by Ezra chapter 4, we find that the work is halted and it needs to wait until Nehemiah's day for completion. And reports of this opposition, this conflict, the halting of the work would all have come to Daniel's ears. And it has ever been that there is conflict between God's people who are doing God's work and the world about them. It was in May last year that our government published a report commissioned by government and compiled by the Bishop of Truro, saying that the persecution of Christians had reached near genocide levels. The report says evidence shows not only the geographic spread of anti-Christian persecution, but also its increasing severity. This conflict is not new. It was not just in Daniel's day. It is today. But it began right at the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when the devil arrived and tempted Eve and Adam with lies, twisting what God had said with the intent of spoiling God's work. same lies today from the devil. Sow fear such that we panic buy. And we read in our newspapers that some felt the need to smash their way into the Boots, the chemist on the high street. The Lord Jesus before Pilate said his kingdom is not material but spiritual. And Paul says our battle is with rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of this darkness, evil spiritual forces in the heavens. My friends, the same conflict rages today as raged in Daniel's day. The difference is for Daniel, the curtain was drawn back so he could see. He understood, we read in the text of verse 1, and he saw the conflict in the heavenly realm. So as we begin, we need to ask ourselves, do we accept the consistent testimony of Scripture and understand that this moment in our lives is one in which a great battle is being fought in the heavenly realm? Powers beyond our imagining. Powers beyond that of Hollywood's imagining. Well, let's be honest, this pandemic has shut Hollywood down, hasn't it? These powers in the heavenly realms are currently clashing with one another. Scripture tells this story in detail and allows us to understand that Christ is the connective between the two worlds. The word says that God is a spirit, and yet we know that Christ took on humanity. He entered our world. He had to, because Satan had been banished here, limited in his scope and action. But that was not enough, for God had always planned for Satan and all the evil angels to be defeated and removed. Christ is the one who is doing that. And we stand today on the battlefield between the decisive victory Christ won on the cross and his return, when he will finally remove Satan and remake the world for all of his chosen people to live with him in glory. And that conflict that's going on behind the scenes is a massive conflict. Friday night, Harrison, Esther and I played Risk, that wonderful board game of global domination. And that's exactly what happened. Esther was too kind to her old man and went slowly at it, wiping out my troops. And I had nothing much to start with and a very difficult challenge. And Harrison just romped across the board. Australia, Asia, Europe, he ruled the world. And it was pretty quick too. But compared with the real wars that are going on around us now and the pain and the suffering in our hospitals, our game was nothing. No news report will be written. Nobody will hear about it any more than those of you who are listening to this. And the same distinction, compared with the great conflict going on in the heavenly realms, this pandemic, the wars and the rumors of wars are just like the game. They're quite small in magnitude. Yes, their impact on us is terrible, but there is this great conflict going on behind. Are we ready and willing to accept that? Or do we prefer the scientific rationalism of our day, the belief that humanity will find a way? We can batten down the hatches for a few months, the virus will go away, and it will return to how it all was before. It wasn't too bad, was it? Days like these bring into sharp focus the difference of worldviews. Which do you hold to? To my mind, there has to be more to this world than scientific rationalism. The stakes are just too high. Isn't it easier to believe that there is a spiritual realm and an eternal battle? If every life here on earth has a spiritual and an eternal dimension, then the struggle for life suddenly becomes worthwhile. And that's the Bible's view. You and I are so much more worth fighting for than we even think. So much more is going on behind the scenes in battle that affects our lives. There's a great conflict in the heavenlies behind all this trouble in our world. Now, these chapters include the reminder that there is only one winner. The end of the prophecy of Daniel in chapter 12 will say, many will be purified, cleansed, and refined. Happy is the one who waits for and reaches that day. Daniel, you will rest, and then you will stand to receive your allotted inheritance at the end of days. The devil will finally fall and be removed, and God and his people will be blessed and be a blessing. They will receive the inheritance they deserve. Don't you want to be one of those who stand with them then? Trust in Jesus, and you can. And all of this, I think, this stuff that was revealed to Daniel and helped him, gives us a reason to observe and learn from Daniel. So three simple words which hold our applications today. How shall we be in these days? How was Daniel in those days? How shall we be in these days? We may well be fearful. There's the first one, three F's. We may well be fearful like Daniel. We may well be frail like Daniel, but we can still be faithful like Daniel. We may be fearful like Daniel. We may well be frail like Daniel, but we can still be faithful like Daniel. Let's start there. Daniel is at the end of his life, and it's a life marked by faithful service. On the day he came out of the lion's den, King Darius said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions? And of course the answer is yes. What service is Daniel's? What is it that he has been faithfully doing? It is hallmarked, I think, as you read of his life, in two things. Daniel is one who is faithful to the word of God. He is faithful to the word of God, and he is faithful in seeking the face of God. The word and prayer, if you like. These things matter to him above personal glory, above a return to Jerusalem, above everything else. Do they matter to us? Who are we praying for in these days? Are we deep in the word in these days? And Daniel was faithful, but he was faithful despite being fearful. There is no question that fear ruled the day in Daniel's experience. Terror fell on the others with him in verses 7 and 8, and they ran away. They left. The description of Daniel's fear is pretty complete too. Verses 8 and 9, verses 12, 15, 19, it's all the way through the chapter. He remains fearful through the whole process. It is no small thing to see a little bit of the mind of God, to have that curtain drawn back and to see the spiritual battles in the heavenly places. It's no small thing. I would not lightly ask to know much more of what God is about, for it seems to me to be a heavy burden. Indeed, Daniel did not ask. His ministry was of prayer for those in conflict in Jerusalem. And it seems that God visited him with a special revelation. And he is fearful as he understands what he has seen. And yet he is still faithful. This is the point I want to make. These two are not opposites, as is sometimes professed. They often, in Scripture at least, in fact, more often than not, I think, go hand in hand. Do you remember Moses' answer to God when God said, go to Pharaoh? Not me, I can't speak to Pharaoh. Send Aaron. How many times did Gideon ask for another reassurance to know the way? Was not Joshua in need of hearing words not unlike verse 19? Or did not Jeremiah complain about his youth? And did not our Lord Jesus plead three times for the cup to pass? Fearful and yet faithful to his Father's will. We may well be afraid in these days, but that does not need to reduce or get rid of our faithfulness. And we may consider ourselves to be frail. Daniel certainly was, 80 years old, reduced by this to sleeping and groveling on the ground. The receiving of the vision laid this burden on him, But so did his age and his circumstance, I think. And here too, also, we can follow Daniel's example. Our physical lives are short in spiritual and eternal terms. Much of what we see today may well finish after our lifetime. That was Daniel's experience. He was praying for things that would happen after he was gone. But he'd been singled out to receive a special message. And Daniel, I think, shows us, because there are people being singled out in our society at the moment by this virus. Certain groups of people have to go into self-isolation. Well, whether it's age or isolation or whatever else is making us somewhat frail at the moment, let's not forget that God has brought us to this place. God brought Daniel very clearly to this place. God gave Daniel maturity as a gift, wisdom as a gift, and he gives them to us too. We do not live as long as we have lived by chance. We do not go into isolation because God has been caught out by surprise. So we must not go into isolation in a sense of giving up. Let us take a leaf from Daniel's book, who in retirement, on hearing of the conflict in Jerusalem, fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. That's another connection back to chapter 1 in verse 3. I didn't eat any rich meat, food, no meat or wine entered my mouth, and I didn't put any oil on my body until the 3 weeks were over. From time to time in Daniel's life, it seems, he needed to take special time with God, to set aside these special things of life and focus on God in prayer and to get into the Word. We must take a leaf from Daniel's book, because we can do that wherever we are and whatever isolation we're in. He knew he had a work to do. It wasn't the work of going and building. It was the work of listening to the voice of God and seeking the face of God and praying for the people of God. And when we reach glory, I believe there will be an untold number of frail, fearful, and yet faithful servants who will be revealed as the ones who prayed this church into the next generation. My friends, we have a work to do. Will we? Will I? Will you? Despite perhaps being fearful, despite knowing frailty, will we remain faithful like Daniel? Seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Seek to know his mind in his word. Will we be about this work? We should. Let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you for your word. And we ask that you would lead us now to remember whatever it is that is particular to us from the example of Daniel, from the deeper understanding of our days and glimpsing behind the curtain. We pray, our Father, you would encourage and enable us to be faithful. We pray that whatever fear, we will not fall short, we'll not cry off, we'll not stand down, but we'll stand too and serve you. And whatever frailty we face, whether that be age or isolation, Lord, let that not get in our way of faithful service. But may we find time to pray with one another, to study your word together and to seek your face. We pray, our Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.